Coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
And welcome to Hagman. It is the Hagman Report for today. It's Tuesday, October 15, 2024. 3 weeks to Election Day, 21 days. I really can't wait until this is over. I don't know about you, but I can't wait until this is all over with. Really, though, the future of our country is going to be determined by the actions of those of us who get out and cast our ballot. You may think, of course, well, it doesn't matter. It's a selection. I understand all that. But before you get to the blood and bullets, and I'm telling you, that's not a threat. It's a warning. It's coming. You have no idea the unrest that is about to befall our country. And it's the left that is doing this. It's the communist left that's doing this. And what they are attempting to, what the left is attempting to do, It's folks, it's bigger than that. It's good versus evil. Everyone has got to understand that. And obviously, I believe we are on the side of good. The problems, we have so many problems in front of us right now. And this is we're sitting on a tinderbox, not just domestically, but globally. You've got things happening. In the Middle East, you've got things happening in Ukraine. You've got just a number of things happening. I saw it, a social media feed. It might still be up on my media feed, but I'm not going to play it. Of all of the equipment that could have helped, could be helping the impact, those impacted, left homeless in the wake of Helene, especially in Western North Carolina. The equipment that was sent over to Ukraine is obscene. $422 million worth of equipment, not funds, but equipment. I'm talking about hard, like generators and first aid assembly kits, if you will. The power, things for power. That should be in use by Americans here impacted by the devastation caused by Helene and, of course, later by Milton. The left and the right, members of the right, had sent all of that to Ukraine. Now, I know I've talked about this before. I just want to grab this real quick. I happened to think about this just moments ago. On Byron Donald's YouTube, let's see here if I can bring this up. Or not YouTube, but Twitter or X, whatever you want to call it. He had posted a couple of things. First of all, I just want to address the pinned comment because I think that this is more important. Byron Donald's pinned comment from October 1st will set the stage for what could happen with if Harris gets put in the White House. Remember back to March 4th, 2021, Harris cast the tie. My gosh, Eric the Tech, you are amazing. God bless you, man. Right on the ball. Kamala cast a tie-breaking vote on the $1.9 trillion America Rescue Plan, right? The left economists warned her that it would cause inflation, and so it did. If you look at this, it caused 20%, well, over 20% inflation. It created a cost of living crisis, and it crushed hardworking Americans. She broke our economy. Now, look, what would a post like this be without reader's context? A little note added at the bottom below the picture. The American Rescue Plan passed the Senate to a vote of 50-49. On March 4th, 2021, Kamala Harris did place the tie-breaking vote in the Senate to bring the bill to the Senate to bring the bill to the Senate floor for consideration. Without this vote, the bill could not have passed the Senate. That's the context. And it's correct. Okay, so that's what you can expect. You want things to become unaffordable? I mean, in real life, things will be even more unaffordable than they are today. My wife, it was great because I spent some time with my wife last night, which asked her, she would say, who's that guy? Because I'm never around. Even when I'm around, I'm never around. Or so it seems of late. And she said, you know, I want to show you something. I thought, oh no, what I do now? But that wasn't the case. So she had I won't tell you what it was. It was a thing of popcorn. I mean, I swear she loves popcorn. I mean, she loves popcorn. What more can I say? I'm starting to sound like Kamala Harris, right? Repeating myself. No teleprompters ever. But anyway, she said, look at this. I found this bag from a year ago, which, by the way, was expired. But nonetheless, we use it because it's still good. The microwave popcorn. I know it's not. Okay. And it was, I think it was like 3.5 ounces or 3.7. I'm not sure. It was over 3.5 ounces. There was another bag of popcorn more recently purchased, and it was 3 ounces. The price on the bag of 3.5 or 3.75 was less than what was on the 3 ounces. Now, you might chalk that up to corporate greed. You might say, well, that's all corporate, especially if on the left. It's all corporate greed. They're capitalizing on people. Look, I would acknowledge in some cases, perhaps, that is the case, maybe in certain instances. On the other hand, the majority of this is for corporations just to try to keep alive with the oppressive taxation and the increase in, just the absolute increase in regulations, increased taxes, increased cost of goods. This is what we're in for. Go to the gas pump. I have photographs of President Trump's last day in office. Well, let me be clear on that. It was on November 4th of 2020. I've got photographs of that. And I think it was in my area. Now it could be different from yours. It was $2.19 and 9 tenths or whatever. In today, Eric the Tech, what is it today per gallon? Because I'm going to say I the last time I filled up, which I go to different
over 350.
Okay, so because one station is 359, one is 354.9.
Ohio 299.
Right, right. We're close to Ohio, so sometimes what I will do is I will go to Ohio, cross the border, which is 15 miles, and or I don't know how long it is, maybe 20 miles. And on the other side of the border, you can get gas for a lot less than you can in Pennsylvania, which really doesn't make a lot of sense unless you look at the tax structure. But I digress. So everything is, look, it's you and I, right? What I pay as an employer, what I pay Eric the Tech, for example, he is losing money every day that he works here and does not get a raise in line with the inflation. And as being self-employed, I'm not only losing money because my dollars are worth less, but, and you know this, small business owners, the taxes have gone up. The I know workers' comp that I've got to pay has gone up, which, by the way, is ridiculous. But and some of the regulations that were not in place before have become more oppressive, which costs me more money to operate a small business, whether it's the investigative business or whether it's this platform. Cost me, just like it does you. I mean, we're all feeling the effects of this, which I might add, I'm going to thank you so very much, those who support us. You're very generous, and I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart, because folks, without you, we wouldn't be on the air. And I wrote in a comment on Rumble yesterday, and folks, please, again, I ask you, I plead with you, please create a Rumble account. And then follow us on Rumble. It matters. It matters. Or Brighteon. Rumble is the primary platform. It matters a lot. And that will allow you to. And you don't, I mean, it doesn't cost anything. You don't have to do anything. But it allows you to comment. But when we go live, and so hopefully sometime next week, I believe that's our target date next week. Do we have any updates on that? Or is that about right, Eric the Tech? He said it should be about right. You didn't hear that, but I did. Okay, so without your generosity, we wouldn't exist. But I'm going to tell you this, and I responded to a Rumble comment yesterday, as I said. If Harris gets in, programs like this, I can guarantee you, will be off the air. We're going to be nothing but an echo chamber talking to ourselves. It's because Harris, and how would you like another 4 years of Mayorkas? How would you like, I mean, it's just, so thank you so much for your generosity and keeping us on the air, allowing us to go live, which will change a lot of things for the better, which will increase our visibility. By going later in the evening, it'll cover more top. We can cover more topics. You can interact with us. It's a good thing all around. Eric's been working his behind off to really make this happen, and I really so appreciate that. So, but there's this period right now that we find ourselves in, and where we find ourselves is this call for the last 100 days, roughly. I guess it would be Marana between now and January 20th of 2021, or 2025, of Biden having some very destructive power. Michael Moore wrote a column or a Substack about this. I mean, he wants all sorts of things. I think he called it Biden's bucket list. It was on Substack, Michael Moore. What a putz this guy is. You talk about tyranny and fascism. It's the left. And but aside from all of that, what are we facing now with the looming threat, as the left perceives it, with a President Trump return to office? Breitbart reported this new migrant caravan. Let me rephrase that title. Invaders, a new set of invaders headed north trying to beat the possible arrival of a Trump administration. Folks, if you read this, and I would urge you to read this report, because it is absolutely staggering. I'm going to say this. We're looking at it, based on my calculations, as I've gone through the research from 2020, late 2020, and understanding how the statistics are reported and how they're not reported, you're looking at probably north of 30 million invaders in this country. Think about that, 30 million. And again, by my calculations, to the best possible way, you're looking at over a million Chinese. Now, when we're talking about Chinese, you're looking at the Chinese invaders. But you can, if you don't mind, put that back up. The invaders. Thank you, Eric. Of approximately 1,000 invaders departed from Mexico's southern border this weekend to make its way to Mexico City. From there, the group is expected to disperse and find various ways to reach the U.S. border. The caravan is the second to start in Mexico since October 1. Okay, so what they're doing is they're increasing this invasion. The caravan comprises approximately 1,000 invaders from Venezuela, Colombia, Ecuador, Peru, Haiti, Panama, Costa Rica, Afghanistan, Nepal. I mean, this is not just people looking for a better life. This is people looking to conquer this country. And I appreciate that. Folks, read that. It'll be in the show notes at HagmanPI.com. And, you know, one of the things, not the thing, but one of the things about this is to vote. Okay, this has a lot to do with the election. Again, this is not, to me, this is not the primary motivation. The primary motivation of these groups and these people is to conquer America, replace the white Anglo-Saxon, white European race in this country. And if you think that's offensive, well, or even a conspiracy, no. They've essentially said this. But what's the goal here? One of the goals is to get the non-citizen, or how about this, the illegals in this country, get their vote in November. And this is from Issues and Insights.
Pickle.
Gherkin. Eric the Tech Man, I'll tell you what, you're perhaps the greatest. All right. Non-citizens will vote in November. The only question is how many. And, you know, when you have the Department of Justice, and you can hold that up there because I do want people to read this article as well, but when you have the Department of Justice going after the coalitions, and I think I might have played this yesterday, and if not, my apologies, but the Department of Justice going after Virginia, a couple of organizations trying to clean up the voter rolls and finding all of these illegals on the voter rolls or people.
But the mainstream media says there are none.
Right. The mainstream media, they can pound sand. They're stenographers for the deep state. But the Department of Justice is suing. I mean, of all people, the Department of Justice is suing, or of all entities, the very agency, the very institution that is tasked with keeping this country adherent to the Constitution is actually working against the Constitution. But this article goes a little bit further in depth, providing a couple of examples, or one example anyway, of Texas. Their voter rolls in 2019 found, and these are no small numbers, found 95,000 non-citizens who registered, 58,000 whom voted in an election this year. Texas Governor Abbott announced that he'd removed 6,300 non-citizens from the state's voter rolls, nearly 2,000 of whom voted. Well, it's too little too late. I have mixed feelings on all of these governors and politicians. For example, you see Jim Jordan, you know, mucking it up in the house, but whatever gets done. But there it is right there, highlighted. Consider these recent examples. Virginia's Attorney General recently announced the state removed 6,303 non-citizens from its voter rolls in 2022 and 2023. Next, Arizona admitted a massive error in its voter rolls that resulted in 218,000 registered voters who lack proof of U.S. citizenship.
Oopsie.
Yeah, oopsie, right? A quarter of a flipping million people. And Nevada, Arizona, I'll tell you what. The people in the election process down there, as well as Fulton County, Georgia, and Michigan, I hope that with a Trump election or a successful certification in the course, I hope they go after you. I really do. I hope you are charged, and if convicted, the sentence should be severe. I don't care if you have an R or D by your name, but this is horrific. So, folks, go ahead and read this. Read this article again. Issues and insights. Definitely read it. Okay. Now, I sent something to you, Eric. Let me grab this. Okay. I spoke yesterday about the best and worst case scenarios if Trump, and I'll say when, but if Trump would be successful in the election here in three weeks. And I think I might have said the worst case scenario would be, you can go back to yesterday's program. I'm not going to relitigate that. But one of the issues I did talk about was, first of all, no matter what happens, this is my belief. This is my projection. We're not going to know the results of the election on November 5th. And unless there is a complete and utter landslide. Do I think that's going to happen? No, I really don't. Not because the votes aren't there, but because the votes are being screwed with. All right. But based on just what I've been seeing, and the polls are worthless. Rasmussen, one can argue Rasmussen might be good. If we look at a President Trump win as a likely scenario, what would happen? What would happen It depends, because the down ballot votes are important. If the left takes the House, which is, I don't know how likely that is, but let's just say they prevail in the House of Representatives, then you've got a real problem, because the left could pass a resolution that would declare President Trump ineligible to hold public office, including the presidency, under Section 3 of the 14th Amendment. Oh, and you might say, oh, shut up, man. My head's about... No, listen to me. You remember how certain states this past year rejected or wanted to reject President Trump off their ballots, right? I think Colorado might have been one of them. I'm not entirely certain. Well, the Supreme Court ruled... If you recall, that the individual states could not take President Trump off the ballot. You would think that's a win for President Trump, but what they left open was the possibility for Congress to do so. And again, you might say, oh, come on. Who in their right mind would do that? That would cause all sorts of chaos. Well, chaos is what they're looking for. Page 5 in the show notes. Some House Democrats likely won't certify a Trump election victory. This is from Legal Insurrection, and you can read about this. And you can go back to 2017 when Raskin stood up and said, I object to these ballots or these electors. And no. Well, Raskin is really working overtime to push this issue to not certify a victory of President Trump. And you might say, well, that's impossible. That never happened before. Oh, contraire. It did happen. But before I move from this report, Axios reported the top Democrats won't certify a Trump victory. And this is from, I believe that's from The Hill, too. Or what's that from? Oh, that's no, that's Axios, right? Yeah, okay. Thanks, Eric. So, House Democrats rallied against House Speaker Mike Johnson for hedging on whether a GOP-controlled House would certify a Kamala Harris victory, but some of their senior members are playing a similar game. What's going on here is Raskin, you know him, all right, the Maryland Democrat, the member of the House Oversight Committee, the January 6th, J6 committee member and such. He objected to Trump electors back in 2017. As I told you, I could play the clip for you, but you can find it. Raskin is really getting together. Now, this Axios column really kind of treats this lightly, but he's getting a bunch of his fellow congresspeople together to say, hey, President Trump, to pass a resolution or to pass a bill stating that President Trump is not eligible for any office under Section 3 of the 14th Amendment. Because, the Supreme Court said, yeah, states can't, but the Congress can. And if you look at history, there were three different times in American history that this happened. The election of 1800 between, well, it ended up with Jefferson, or Jefferson was part of that, Aaron Burr. But okay, so the election of 1800, the election of 1824, the election of 1876, which this process, these different years within that time period, generated the 14th Amendment, which I won't get into in detail, but it instructs the House, if this does happen, the House must vote to choose the president. I'm sorry, that would be the 12th Amendment. The House votes how to choose, or votes to choose the president. So the House votes by state delegates, which is a lot different. And I'm not going to get into the weeds on this, but I, as much as I dislike going to Wikipedia for anything, I suppose those people who are so inclined can look up the election of 1800 on Wikipedia. It was the fourth election, presidential election. It was held from Friday, October 31st to Wednesday, December 3rd. And the reason, of course, was distance, horse and buggy, lacking of any kind of electronic stuff. It was just, okay, I mean, you had to carry votes by horse, by buggy, you know, all that stuff. But it was termed the revolution of 1800, the Democrat-Republican Party candidate. Yes, we had a Democrat/Republican Party, and then we had the Federalist Party. But okay, but the Democrat-Republican Party candidate, which was Vice President Thomas Jefferson, defeated Federalist Party candidate and incumbent John Adams. The election was a political realignment that ushered in a generation of Democrat-Republican leadership. Now, if you scroll down and read this article, again, I'm not big on Wikipedia. You can find an alternative source, but it'll tell you the problems that particular election had. The chief political issues revolved around the fallout from the French Revolution. In the quasi-war, the Federalists favor a strong central government. Think about this now. The Federalists, and many people talk about the Federalist Papers. Well, what about the Anti-Federalist Papers? But I digress. The Democrat-Republicans favor decentralization to the state governments. Isn't that interesting? And the party attacked the taxes the Federalists imposed. The Federalists were really cozy with Great Britain, favored a strong centralized government, and so on. So I would urge you to understand. Oh yeah. The Democrat-Republicans also denounced the Alien and Sedition Acts, which the Federalists had passed to make it harder for immigrants at that time, now properly stated immigrants, to become citizens and to restrict statements critical of the federal government. Okay. All right. If you study that, the election of 1800, the election of 1824, and the election of 1876, you can see how where we're at today was set up in part by those specific elections. And also with the Harris win, you can, if you study the case of Eugene V. Debs back, I think it was 1914-ish, Eugene V. Debs, two B's on Debs. You can see where he was running for president on the socialist ticket and was tossed in jail for supposedly anti-American, anti-US, anti-war statements. Those two issues, the elections I mentioned, as well as the Debs issue, seems like history is rhyming here because they're all coming into play right now. Please do me a favor. Just kind of get a sense of what happened in those three presidential elections. Also, the censorship and the imprisonment of the socialist Eugene V. Debs. Again, I'm no fan, but, you know, when you throw somebody in prison for speaking on the town square, you know, I'm not so sure that's a great idea. And no, President Trump did not state that. The only people stating that they would imprison anyone for their speech is the left. So these are all things that are happening right now. You've got this leftist-inspired invasion surge coming to the United States. And let me add one more thing. I mentioned the hurricane victims. We're still involved with that process, all right, beyond what we've already done. We really can't be there with boots on the ground, but certainly we can support them. B1 Church, you've heard our guests come on talking about B1 Church. 100% of the funds go for fuel, food, and direct assistance to those impacted. But there are other good ones out there. Just stay away from everything else. And lastly, about that, the gearing up to make anyone talking about the failures of FEMA with Helene as domestic terrorists, I mean, spoken directly from the mouth of that traitorous bastard, Alejandro Mayorkas, who, in my view, has no business being anywhere near the Department of Homeland Security. He should be on a watch list himself, in my view. But instead, he's putting these rescuers, these volunteer rescuers, on a domestic potential violent extremist watch list. It's absolutely bass-ackwards the way things are taking place. But it's compliments of Biden and Harris, and yes, to a lesser extent, but on a statewide level, you've got that moron tampon Tim Walz. So you've got all of this taking place right now. And it's time for you not only to make a decision, but to act. The first thing I want you to do, I'm asking you because I care about you. Number one is make sure you are prepared. I don't care how you prepare. You just make sure you have enough food, enough water, enough, if you can, even cash on hand. I don't care if it's $5 or 50 or 500 or five. It doesn't matter. Whatever you can afford, cash on hand in preparation of maybe electronics not working, enough food on hand. Ideally, it would be for 6 months. Ideally, food and water, ideally. But I don't know too many people that are there. I certainly am not. If I have a week or two, that's great. It puts me ahead of 90% of the people out there. But please do that. And the other thing, too, even at this late hour, if you're wondering on how to prepare, Standale from standale.com, actually Holly Dale, Dare to Prepare, great book, great reference book. It'll help you, give you some shortcuts, get you a way to prepare. That's daretoprepare.com or standale.com. Click on the appropriate link, but get yourself a copy if you haven't done so already. If you're just like, oh, I don't know what to do, then that'll give you some great life advice, hacks and such, but practical advice as well. And all of Standale's and Holly Dale's books, CDs, DVDs, there you go. From Dare to Prepare to The Cosmic Conspiracy, which I just love that book too. Prudent Places USA. I mean, so much to offer right there. Prophetic Perils, another great one. And the history, the storied history behind Standale. And folks, I'll say this, his Patreon, which we're not allowed on, obviously, we were kicked off, but he's got a great Patreon channel. Support his work through Patreon, and then you can become part of his meetings, as we have. You can have a meeting with Standale, and his are just tremendous, great, great information sources. Do we have Stan? Oh, okay. Sorry, Stan, I was kind of dragging it out. I didn't get the cue that you were there, so my apologies. But I was singing your praises, so
there we go. I saw that. Thank you.
All right, how you doing?
Oh, good. Good, you?
I don't know. Let me check. Yeah, I'm all right.
Everything's still attached.
yeah. As Eric says, Pickle's still there, but anyway. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, look, what are we, 3 weeks?
3 weeks today. 3 weeks. Yeah. Yep.
And nobody knows what's going to happen, but there's been a lot of, main media suggestions. There may be a bit of civil unrest, I might say that.
I don't have any doubt about that. No matter what happens, there will be, to me, there will be unrest because if Harris pulls this out, no, polls aside, if Harris somehow supposedly pulls this out, the right's going to smell a rat. You know that. I mean, so what's the right going to do? Because we're the polite people. We're the people, we'll litigate this out. We'll send strongly worded letters. But if President Trump wins, what's the left going to do? They're going to burn the freaking place to the ground. That's my view. Go ahead.
Well, somebody was saying, I'm sure you've seen it on the internet here in the last week or so, that President Trump would win the election, but Harris would become president. I haven't figured out how that would happen yet, but that's what he said.
Well, I talked about this. I know Jim Rickards talked about this on Glenn Beck's show, where the Congress, President Trump was allowed to remain on the ballots in different states. I think your state, Colorado, was one, but left open the possibility where Congress could decide based on Section 3 of the 14th Amendment whether he would be labeled an insurrectionist and as such not be allowed to receive the electoral votes when it went to Congress to select the person to be put in to the electoral winner. So what would happen then? You'd either have temporary president J.D. Vance, or because you'd have Donald Trump off the ticket based on congressional resolution, especially if we lose the House, or you'd have J.D. Vance and Kamala Harris. But, so that's how, in my view, that's how that could happen. But go ahead, sir.
Oh, well, I know there's going to be irregularities no matter who technically wins the election. The hope, he told Holly, in that 19 96 when they asked us to come down and visit with them, or come over to the States at that time and visit with them, because we were still in Australia. But all that time, I've been listening and looking to see what is happening in the country according to what the prophecies were given to us by the Hopi. And they did say there will be a multi-sided civil war in the United States. And we asked them, of course, that was question, when? And got the standard Hopi answer of soon, soon, you know. And it's now been, 28 years since that prophecy. But we're seeing it happen. Now, I don't know how far flung that civil disorder or, civil war, they said, is going to spread. But we don't need division in this country when we're being invaded by China, Russia, and a bunch of terrorist organizations. So, I kind of wonder how long we're going to have the opportunity to have shows like this, you know, with you and I. You mentioned something about Patreon. Have you been taken off Patreon?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. I think it was December of 22 or 23. I don't know which one. But, yeah, it was December 14th of... I'll tell you, because I'll read exactly what they wrote. Man, it's unbelievable. Not that this is about us. It was December 14th, 2022 is when we were taken off from Blair, in parentheses, support. Wednesday, December 14th, 2022 at 7:14 a.m. Subject, a note from Patreon Trust and Safety, account removal. To the Hagman Report. Hi there, I'm Blair from Trust and Safety team here at Patreon. I'm writing to inform you that I've removed your creator page for violating Patreon's community guidelines. Due to your encouragement in the events at the Capitol building on January 6th, my team has removed your page, all in bold letters.
Good grief. I didn't know that.
Yeah, as our community guidelines prohibit the use of Patreon by individuals for illegal, and this is the other thing too, we were accused of illegal and criminal acts. And purposes, your account's been removed as a result of our team becoming aware of our transgressions. There we go.
Well, yeah, apparently they haven't taken me off yet, but that's, we can discuss a lot of interesting things on our Patreon page, as you mentioned before. I wonder how long we'll have the opportunities, I say, to have, free speech there. And, and to do our show here with you. There's going to be a lot of chaos surrounding the election, and there's every chance in the world that the Harris-backed, backing team, whoever they are, will start cutting off people that they don't like, commenting on the current situation. I don't know. It's just, what a confusing time, but I just really wonder how much longer we'll have free speech of any sort.
Well, I think we possibly buy some time. Now, this is my view. Tell me what you think. If President Trump does win, I don't think the emphasis is going to be on censorship and silencing platforms that are pro-America. Now, I do think that if Harris wins, there will be an attempt to silence our platforms, your platform, platforms like ours. So if you'd use the model of Alex Jones, what they did to him, of course, they went at him through the civil process, bankrupting him for things he did or did not do, most likely. But anyway, you can see how this is going to play out. And I think we're going to be among those casualties with the Harris win. But we can buy more time with a President Trump win. And if President Trump does, in fact, clean things up in his own house, and I stress that because he's got a lot of people around him that don't have his best interests at heart or the America First policy at heart.
Boy, how do you operate in such an environment? Boy, he's tough.
Oh, yeah. I don't think people know the half of it. And when he's portrayed, too, he had a rally yesterday in Oaks, Pennsylvania. And, he's being people are saying, oh, he's cognitive. He had a medical incident or cognitive incident where he played music, more music and songs. And, well, people don't have any idea what the backstory is behind that. And I'm not going to get into it, but it's not what the mainstream or corporate deep state stenographers said it was. He was actually handling the heat, the stifledness within the room. Why is he in an enclosure like that? Well, it's because of, you know, the attempted assassinations and the threats to his life and such, and the failures by the Secret Service, who are complicit, I believe complicit, in the federal, with the federal deep state bureaucracy, to take him out. So anyway, I don't know where I was going with that. I'm going to shut up now. Go ahead.
Well, I did see that mention that, you know, he played music, and I thought, well, boy, I wonder what went wrong, because he seemed to be okay on the stage, yet with the music. But
several people in the audience weren't. I just have to say that. Several people in the audience went down, fainted, passed out, had some medical issues because there were so many people jam-packed in this venue. It was a closed venue that it was hot, and some people suffered from that. So in deference to those people, he stopped the Q&A and just said, look, we're just going to kind of sing it out, basically. And that's what he did, you know? I mean, so whatever.
I can expect a lot more problems as we get closer to the election day. I guess we all can. And, you know, I've been waiting for this to occur since the Hopi told us it was going to happen. But I don't look forward to it. What else they said is that after we have this great civil disorder, multifaceted, whatever it is, that we'd be invaded by China, Russia, and a Middle Eastern nation, which I assume would be Iran. They didn't know at the time. Sorry, I had a focus issue there. And that we can see that forming now with our relationship with China and the number of Chinese infiltrators that are in this country, the police station that they put in the country here, at least one, and then the terrorists that have come in from China, Iran, Russia, and just Mexican cartel terrorists. We are in a real threatening position here. And I've often, in the last year, wondered if I were President Trump and were elected to take the office again, what would I do first, and how would I get rid of the threat to us that's on shore? And I couldn't find happy solutions to my questions. You know, would you break a strike, you know, on the seacoast? And, you know, would you arrest and deport people, but with using the military to get them out of the country? I mean, 2 million, 3 million people that don't belong here. Can you imagine the logistical nightmare you would have to try to do that with terrorist groups trying to stop you? I mean, what an impossible situation he's facing.
I agree with you. I think it's doable. I don't necessarily believe that the U.S. military are needed. It would be easier, okay, I think, with the military. On the other hand, I don't think they're needed. I think that using the assets that have been heretofore used to process these people, I do believe there's a possibility that they could be retrained instead of doing paperwork to get the illegal invaders into the country, to get them out of the country. And I think it could be done. I really do. But I do believe, and I think it can't be understated, the threat that would pose, because you would have rogue groups, including from the left, attacking the very people who are trying to clean this country out, which... I'm all for Kash Patel as Attorney General. I think working with the Attorney General if we had a decent Attorney General, a constitutional one, I do believe that it could be done, as well as cleaning out the deep state mess that's known as the SES, or the permanent bureaucracy in our country.
How, you know, I mean, there's like maybe 160 different nations that that these terrorists come from that have come into the United States illegally. Dealing with 160 nations to take their, you know, their prisoners or whoever they let go into this country to give them back. I mean, what a nightmare.
Yeah. Eric Tex just said, whispered in my ear, hey, they came through Mexico, dropped them back off in Mexico.
Okay. You know, why not? Yeah, that's your problem. Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, you allowed this?
Yeah.
So you handle it. Or, you know, other arrangements with other countries could be made. I think, and if anyone could do it or would do it or had the grit to do it, it would be President Trump. And I believe in that. So whether or not this is permitted, I do it by executive order if you have to, as long as it's constitutional. As long as it's within the framework of the Constitution, hey, why not? But
yeah, okay. Well, it doesn't change my thoughts, though, saying that, you know, what an impossible situation has put him in. Yeah. I mean, we pray for him here at our house every day, at least once a day, and for J.D. Vance, for the whole team. I wish there were a peaceful way to transition from this invading power that's in the White House to what belongs here in the Trump administration. Oh, Lord. Indeed.
Yes. Well, Stan, what's been on your mind? Believe me, we could talk about all sorts of things, but I want to hear what you're thinking about, working on, what your concerns are, and just tap into your intellectual insights into things. Go ahead.
Okay, yeah. Look, politics, I guess, has been on my mind, as has been on many people's minds.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Who are realists, talking real. I have looked at other things which are linked to this. For instance, the Chinese wanting to take back Taiwan. Sorry, am I getting? Are you hearing that rattle?
Oh, a little bit. Yeah.
I don't know what's causing that. Let me see if I can adjust the wires there. Is that better now?
Yeah, I can't hear anything now. So okay.
Okay. I keep hearing it. I guess it's just in my ear.
I am too, but Eric Texas, it's not bad, so it's not distracting.
Okay. In my show images page, Eric, slide one, I show a big Chinese Coast Guard, what they call monster ship. It's been sailing around the island of Taiwan, threatening them and saying that they are wanting to surround Taiwan because it's really a part of China that's just not been officially annexed. We can't afford, the United States and the rest of the world depends on chips from Taiwan. We can't afford letting China take Taiwan back because, for one thing, if they still continue to make chips for our weapons or our computers or whatever, we couldn't trust them because they would be able to implant code in those chips that would, you know, neuter any of our weapons and communications if they wanted to. But it's getting serious when they put that many boats, you know, around Taiwan. And while we have so much of our naval force deployed in the Middle East, in the Mediterranean, in the Gulf of the Persian Gulf, the Arabian Gulf, and in the Red Sea or Reed Sea, whatever you want to call it, there, the channel left of Saudi Arabia. So anyway, we're just horribly extended with our naval forces and with some of our forces deployed all over the Middle East. We have troops, several thousand, that are deployed in countries that are not friendly to us and under threat. We're in a very precarious position, and I can see where the Hopi prophecy about being invaded by China and Russia could easily be executed. I don't know what to say about our poor guys being stationed over there without backing of our government. And if we have a split government control between the Harris administration and the Trump administration, if it's not clear-cut control, how are we going to protect our people over there, much less our people here at home, all of us? I don't see happy times ahead for this country.
No, I don't either. Do you think having a Harris, having Harris in the office, heels up Harris in office, and I don't know, Willie Brown must have really did something to her brain, but I digress. The Biden Harris regime has done a lot to hurt our national security, I believe, especially with Mayorkas domestically and with the Joint Chiefs under Harris or Biden and Harris internationally. So is this inevitable? We already have battalions or, I don't know, companies, but we got just a crap ton of people in this country who want to do us harm already inside the gates, compliments of potato head and heels up. So, I don't know. And we got more coming, too. Before he came on, I was talking about these migrant illegal caravans of illegals coming into Mexico in advance of a potential Trump win. We saw this too back in 2016, to a lesser extent, I think, but we saw it then. I think chaos and violence is inevitable. And you, where you're at, Aurora, Colorado.
Yeah.
What the I know. Heck?
My son lives not too far from there, another suburb of the outer skirts of Denver. Look, we have, in Colorado, we have a mixture of Italian descent and Hispanic descent. And here, where we are in Pueblo, we see this, where the southern part of the town is running under a Mexican or Hispanic chamber of commerce. In the northern parts, under an Italian chamber of commerce. And yesterday was Columbus Day. Italians celebrate that more than the Hispanics. And there's friction in the streets when that happens alone. That's just another little driver in the instability here. I put on my show images page in slide 2 an interesting point about Christopher Columbus. It has long been rumored that he was Jewish and that he was part of the 300,000 Jews that were expelled from Spain in 1492. It's interesting that we say it's a Spanish settled America and that kind of stuff, when the actual guy to find it was probably Jewish. They've been analyzing DNA bones of his son and various other places in her. Reasonably certain now then that he was Jewish, and he escaped the purge there in Spain to go discover America. He was only a few decades late because the, or maybe even centuries, because the Vikings had already come over and settled in North America. Anyway, it's just an interesting thing. It's another driving force within the discord here in this country. Between, Jewish, Italian, Hispanic, various ethnic groups, and people that are invading this country that are already here. And I don't know how many, as you pointed out, it's 100,000 more terrorists in place. They are using everything they can to cause division amongst the peoples of this country. And they're doing a great job of it. And they're so deeply embedded right now within our, military and government services and things like that, that it's just almost impossible to get rid of them without having, armed conflict. And you can see that on the horizon, because both left and right extremes, have armed militant groups, which will start stirring up trouble. I told Holly the other day, I said, look, if the military came and knocked on my door and said, hi, look, we're from your military, we'd like to come in and help you out or whatever, how would you know whether their uniforms are real, and if they're real, military people supporting you, or local police have which uniform, how do you know which uniform is right? And, it's just going to be a very uncertain time. I don't want to have to make that decision someday, but it looks like we're going to.
I think it's inevitable. And now you mentioned too about the Columbus Day. It really pissed me off, Stan, to no end when you've got Kamala Harris saying Happy Indigenous Peoples Day as opposed to Happy Columbus Day. Okay, now yeah. You're talking about sowing division and really trashing your own, the very nation that you want to lead. We can see where that's going. And Walls coming out and saying about, you know, at St. Paul in front of the building there, the Capitol building, where they took down the Antifa BLM, they actually dragged down the statue of Christopher Columbus. I mean, pulled it down and broke it up. And Walls was praising or accepting that, saying, well, they need to express themselves against the genocidal actions of an invading group, meaning Columbus. And I'm paraphrasing that, of course, but how can you even accept that as an American, let alone right or left? I don't care if you're right, left, or, you know, down the middle, but man, that's just, to me, those are fighting words. But anyway.
You and I have discussed this situation many times about how Soros and his ilk have been playing a massive chess game. And they've been putting pieces in positions here in the United States and in Europe, too, for an eventual overthrow of the established governments of these countries, us and Europe and France and Germany and whatever. And he must be sitting somewhere smoking a cigar and drinking his port, laughing his backside off at how we're all running around like the chickens with the head cut off, because he has completely surrounded us, infiltrated us with his people. And, you know, it worries me because he's Jewish, you know, by descent, but he's not like Sephardic Jew. I mean, Columbus was a Spanish Jew or Sephardic Jew. And even the Spanish accent on Hebrew is still practiced in the temple ceremonies in Israel, not the Ashkenazi, but the Sephardi. I suspect, if anything, that Soros is an Ashkenazi Jewish descent. But, you know, he's a master chess player, and he's got the resources and money and people to do what he's intending to do, and now he's got his son ready to take over the reins. So, well.
Yeah, and he's in bed literally with Humabedin.
With who?
Alexander Soros is literally in bed or married to Humabedin.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah, man. He's sucking on, well, not to get gross, but yeah, that's, you know, you look at the interconnected family and marital relationships. It's almost incestuous politically and otherwise. So,
yeah,
you know, but why in the hell where is Soros? Does he live in the U.S.?
I don't know.
If he does, why? And the second question is, if he does, why haven't we done something about it? And I'll leave that to your imagination, folks, legally or otherwise, because you're right. He's the mastermind. And then at the same time, we know where Alexander Soros is. Just saying. you know.
Right. Well, look, I, if we didn't have the biblical prophecies about this time to give us hope, it would be a time to just be in despair, knowing what we know now. But that doesn't stop you from still witnessing the people around you that aren't yet saved, because they're in a time where it's going to be very important to choose whether you live after this in the heavens with the Messiah, or die here, or go to hell, or whatever. It is a very easy time to witness to people who are on the fence about believing because of the current events that are fulfilling biblical prophecy. You know, I wrote that cosmic conspiracy book back in 1978.
Yep.
And within 5 years, a couple of world leaders already had copies of it. President Reagan, King Charles, well, he was Prince Charles at the time. His father, the Duke of Edinburgh, they all had copies of my book. And in the Clinton administration, let's see, the Secretary of Defense, Jim Schlesinger, he had copies of it somewhere during the transition of presidents. He was serving as Secretary of Defense, but he contacted me when he and Clinton were here visiting, or were in Australia visiting, on their way to China for some stuff. But, you know, I witnessed through that book. That was the way I witnessed. But I encourage people who have other avenues to witness, you know, like the blogs, you know, Facebook, you know, short videos on YouTube and whatever about, you know, the need to incorporate Jesus into your life, because that's the defense that we have long term against this evil that is engulfing the planet. It's just without these people, without leaders and without witness, you know, people witnessing, we're doomed as a race. And so that's what we need to do now, is to encourage people with the fact that we do have backing, military backing in the heavens, you know, and everything will be settled later. And to be in that group that re-inhabit the planet and rebuild Earth, you need to be a believer and follower of Jesus. And then, you know, even if your body is killed here temporarily, you have another body come back, which will be indestructible. And it's a good news. We aren't going to be defeated. In the long run, we will win. I've skipped to the end of the Bible and read, and yeah, we do win. So yeah. That's the good news.
Yeah, and I think the time in which we live does not require us, or in fact instructs us, not to be just mere observers of events, but impact the events in a positive way. In fact, by witnessing to others about Jesus and about the salvation that's available to all of us. And I think that's one of, you know, we talk about preparations, practical and otherwise. This is the otherwise. I think that we have to be spiritually prepared. You better make sure you're right with your Creator, with God Almighty, and that you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, or else you're not going to end up in a good place, regardless of what you're doing. So, you're right.
Yeah. Well, look, there are a number of us who've had the near-death experience and gone out and realized that we do exist outside this body. We have arms and legs and a life outside this. And it is up to us who've had that experience to share it with as many people as we can in a manner they will most understand. Because to believe in something, you have to know it's there. You have to believe it's there. And although you can't see in our minds, we tell you with our lips and writings and whatever, it's real out there. You do leave this body and you exist outside of it in another, maybe a parallel universe or whatever, but it's a beautiful place. And, you know, as I say, to believe, even want to believe and follow the leader, the king of that place, wherever it is, the heavens, you must first believe that people have been there and are telling you, look, it's real, and we're going to go there in one form, you know, hopefully in a form where we're saved and live there and don't go to the hot place down there where Satan lives. I know people think this is probably silly, but I'm a scientist, I'm a physicist, and with a rational mind, I support and believe in Jesus Christ, Yeshua ben Elohim. So I just encourage people in this dark time ahead, always remember that. And remember, there are no atheists in a foxhole. And you may find yourself under siege with the evil that is in this planet and growing. But remember that you're not alone there. He is always with you and will see you through to, you know, the heavens if you want to go there. Anyway, that's enough of the Bible bashing. But I really felt it was important to tell people this.
I think, you know, when you look at the numbers, in some 80 million evangelicals, according to a recent study, are not intending to vote or did not vote in the last election, they may be registered or not, but regardless, 80 million who are saying, well, I'll let God take care of this. No, I mean, God works through you. And if you take that attitude, in my view, you are a useless stump Okay. You know, God is not going to do the work for you. You've got to do the work for God. But
yeah, look, being Christian doesn't mean you're going to be a coward or retire in a corner. You got to be strong and bring the light of the Lord out like a sword and say, look, pay attention. Here's what's happening. Pray for your leaders. Pray for your leaders, as the scriptures say. But do the right thing and encourage your brothers and sisters to do the same. Get out and vote. You have no excuse for not participating in a democracy that you've been blessed with. Anyway.
And one last thing to close that out. You know, people talk about the coming civil war. The civil war is already here. I believe that we're already in a civil war, but it just hasn't shown itself in the manner that one would think it is. But you've got to fight right. I mean, you've got to be on the right side. But more importantly, or equally important, is you've got to be righteous in the fight. And by being righteous, you've got to exhaust every possible thing that there is, including casting your vote in order to be on the righteous side, I believe, of what's coming. Because, you know, you're going to have to stand before God on Judgment Day and say, you know, I did everything I could, God. I did everything I could, my Heavenly Father, to avoid this. And until you can say that, I don't think we have a leg to stand on. That's just, again, my two cents. I'm just a guy. I'm just a guy, not a pastor, not a minister. Just a guy who wants to. Who wants to make sure that I'm on the right side of both history, but more importantly, God. So,
yeah. Okay. Well, a couple of other things that are not political. They're geophysics and astrophysics. And slide four, Eric, it's about the current state of the sun. Now, if you click on the image, it will give you an enlarged view of the magnetic polarities of the sunspots now moving around the face of the sun. Where you see item one up there, that one has released a couple of X-class flares in the last week. And before that, on the right side of the sun, as you go further around where it's going, there's a large field of sunspots and magnetic fields that produced a number of X-class flares that's more than we've seen in this solar cycle for sure, and in 20 years as well. Now, I have long been watching the sun and telling people that, look, the sun's surface is thinning. It's going to change its nuclear chemistry. It's going to blow off a dust cloud off of the surface and change the light level coming from the sun to be more reddish in frequency. And down the road, it's 1,000 years from now, whatever, it's going to unwind and just blow up, and the whole universe is going to melt down in a fervent heat as the atoms wind down. But for right now, watching these sunspots and what they're doing is the clever way to protect your electronics in your home from EMP pulses, solar flares, coronal mass ejections that come at us from some of these sunspot regions. Now, it's building up. I've been watching it now for the last year, the number of these flares and coronal mass ejections and the turbulence I can see in the magnetic fields. Now, number two over there on that thing is the approaching set of sunspots, which are made by magnetic field interactions. In number one, you see blue and red dots. In the southern hemisphere, in this solar cycle, the red dots are one magnetic polarity of that sunspot, and the blue is the opposite one. So down here in the southern hemisphere, between one and two there, if you see, and when you see, we've seen them already, the red dots are behind or to the left of the blue dots. This is going to create an instability that can throw a huge coronal mass ejection out of the middle of it. So I'm teaching you this so you can go to SDO.com, that's a Solar Dynamic Observatory of NASA, and look at this graph daily and see where we are. And if you see items like number one, where the polarity is reversed, blue leading orange in the southern hemisphere, know that when that's pointing, say, from about number three's position there, at that latitude there, or longitude, when you see that happening, realize that for the next 7 or 8 days, you're going to be exposed to a potential halo coronal mass ejection, which will wipe out electronics and communication and power grids on the Earth when it hits us a couple of days later. This is why I'm showing you this, because I think it's important that you know how to read this and where to read it. And it's, I think, for the next, about a week, we're going to be relatively calm. But if you look at number two, down to the left of number two, down to the edge there, you'll see an orange field leading a blue-green field, which is normal. And there are two groups with that polarity there at number two. Yeah, right there. There you go. You can just see, but at the top group, you can see that it's possible that there's a blue leading a red at the very top left edge of that, instead of being like the bottom one to the lower left of two, where it's orange preceding blue-green. So we may see something develop in the next week. I don't think so, but we might. And to that end, I want to have you, Eric, go to slide 11 and click on the picture. Now, this is a picture of the magnetic flux lines coming from the sun in a normal year where you have a clear North Pole green and a clear South Pole purple. This is how it is normally. Things are balanced. You can see the white field lines are coming from sunspots, but there are not many of them. Everything is relatively calm on the sun. But every solar cycle, 11.25 years, the North and South Pole of the sun reverse. But they don't just suddenly reverse. They reverse over a period of a year to 2 years. And one, let's say like the green pole may start to slip over to the right and nothing happens on the South Pole for maybe a year. And then all of a sudden it'll start to catch up. And this creates, turbulence in the magnetic field. Now, Eric, click on slide 12. And now slide 12 shows what's happening today. And this gives you an idea of how chaotic the sun is. The green lines that you can see should be in one place, but they're all over the place, north and south. And the purple ones are out the backside doing the same thing. And as a result, these white and black spots are sunspot groups with magnetic field lines coming out. That's today. They are in turbulence. And coupled with all of this, the planets, I haven't put that on this one today because I've done it before, but the planets are lined up such that the massive gas giants and gravitational planets are on one side of the sun like this, and we're just now moving in to a place where we're going to be affected by the tug these things make on the surface of the sun to squeeze the plasma out toward the planets, and we're entering that field now, and we'll be in that field for a couple months. Well, 3 or 4 months anyway. And this can cause more coronal mass ejections to be ejected in our direction, as much as if we were on the other side of the sun and it was being thinned. So there are several times in the next year or two where we're going to be in a danger zone, either from the surface of the sun being stretched by these gas giants, these large masses, or being compressed. You know, and we're in between the compressed magma in the sun and these gas giants out there. These things are all interacting, and I look at biblical prophecy as true, as prehistory in some cases, telling us, look, the sun is going to have a cloud form around it and throw it out in through the solar system. It's going to change the light output from the moon to look blood red because of a dust cloud that passes through the Earth, Moon system, and then on out to the outer reaches of our solar system. But the Bible does tell us about an event where the sun emits a bright flash, 7 times brighter than day, and cooks a third of the surface of the Earth, so that and it happens quickly, like in minutes. We're not talking about a long time. So that side of the Earth facing the sun, the green trees and grass and stuff will be burned. The seas will overheat and kill fish, and then that flash is gone, and it releases this dust cloud, which now moves out through the system, producing the thing that the Bible talks about. The moon shall, the light of the moon shall be like blood, dark red, whatever. So that's why I watch these things so closely with the sun. It has been my calling. And also watching earthquakes that attend these kind of things when we have strong electromagnetic connections with the sun and with sunspots. Several times a day, on average, we see a tube, a magnetic tube from the sun to the earth, interlocking into our electromagnetic field of the earth, which guides, electrical storms. I mean, we're linked. Yeah, our storms are linked to the sun itself. I know. Oh, and on that note, this global warming scam, as President Trump calls it, is really a diversion meant to distract people from the fact that our ecosystem is 95% dependent upon the output of the sun. Maybe 5% is from human and organic interactions to produce, you know, cow gas and whatever to, you know, make global warming. The real villain in all this is the sun. So if you tell people, you know, we can't fix the sun, but it's causing all the storms and it's going to cause hurricanes, earthquakes, UV bombardments, thinning of our magnetic shield in around the earth so that we're going to get cosmic radiation to give us radiation burns in the UV spectrum. If you tell people that that's what's happening, we can't fix it, you're going to have anarchy develop because people are going to say, well, hey, mate, I'm going to go take, you know, whatever supplies I can get for my family and find a cave or whatever. We're going to survive. And that's why this scam has been put forward. And I tell you that if I had been sitting in the control of the planet and knew these things, I would be tempted to say, for the sake of the human race, I would say, well, look, maybe I better not tell them how serious it is. We're at the hands of God. It's going to be something we can't control. Or would I say, well, look, I'll tell certain people in the community who are unofficial government leaks, tell about these things to people, to give them a warning to those who are thinking and rational people what they can do or what is happening, how to prepare for it. In the meantime, I would put seeds and DNA banks and underground shelters and undersea shelters for the best of our humanity, as best we can determine now, as far as their physical abilities and their mental abilities to hopefully rebuild the planet after this solar crisis passes. So you can see the dilemma that a leader would have, knowing that if he tells openly, officially, what is happening, the chaos it would create and destroy all possibility of being able to preserve the human race from a human point of view. So,
I can almost see that, almost understand that, but I don't know if I was in that position, I'd want to be absolutely truthful with everyone and say, look, this is biblical. It's biblical history. Prophecy, that is, and this is what we're going to have to go through. So prepare accordingly to everyone. And you know, yeah, if there is unrest, okay, I might own that, but to me, it's better to tell the truth to people. But before, I just want to address two things, and they're related to what you just said, obviously. Is this why I can walk out of my house and over Lake Erie see the northern lights? Does this explain that?
Yeah, it's part of it.
Okay, that's
look, you know, Doug, you are being told about this by unofficial sources like me and others who come out and say, look, here's the data from the government sources, let me analyze it for you. I'm not an official spokesman, and neither are the others that are telling you this over the internet and in books. This has been going on since 1982 with Gribben and Pleasurement's report about the sun. So these things have leaked out from unofficial sources. And by doing that, if you were in charge, you'd say, well, if this unofficial source gets too big of a following and people start to panic, then we'll disavow that source and, you know, discredit them, whatever, so that their information is forgotten and we go back to the original plan of pulling the wool over people's eyes. Now, as a leader, we have to think differently than you and I think now, saying, why wasn't I told? As a leader, you have to make decisions based on information that realistically you can't just turn over to the people, you know, openly, because they would react like a lynch mob does. You know, they would just panic. And in our times now, the situation is so volatile with the threats of invasion and civil war and hurricanes and tornadoes and climate disasters, you don't want to rock the boat. You know, you want to try to say to people that are thinkers, you, through leaks that you create, look, here's what the situation is. Do the best you can to prepare. And if you're a Christian or Jew or whatever in your faith, follow that and get closer to the Creator. Obviously, I would be pushing the Christian faith, but still. Sure. You'd want to try to give hope to the people through these unofficial sources.
Yeah, as you're doing now, and as we, I guess, together are doing.
Yeah,
right. And along with that, the solution, the answer, of course, maybe hand them a Bible as well, you know, and say, you can read about this.
Look, there are going to be many philosophies competing. I mean, you and I are on the Judeo-Christian branch, but regardless, you want to try to calm people and give them hope to how to endure these things physically and spiritually if they follow that belief. People like Holly and I have written books about how to physically prepare for about 5-6 major catastrophic events and weather and war and whatever. But we're looking at the physical preparations you can make. And if that fails, or if it only endures for a while, then if you are going to live after this, you know, then what you need to do to sign on, in our opinion, is to sign on with Jesus. Certainly since I did in the desert in 1973 or 4, my life has been different. It's certainly not on course of what I'd planned, but it's been an interesting time to help people. And there are many like me who have tried in various ways and are still trying to give people this option, this peace, to understand that it's all under control and that we're only here temporarily anyway in this form.
Amen. One more question about the, you mentioned earthquakes as well. I ran recently, supposedly, I think there was a report near Iran earthquake, and considering that they're allegedly doing some nuclear tests, underground nuclear tests, did we have an earthquake in Iran, to your knowledge, or was that a signature of a nuclear test? If you know, or if you
I don't know. The only way I could tell is with the nuclear monitoring, the high altitude monitoring our government does do, if there was a detonation there. But I tell you this, that the Bible does say in this time, in these nations surrounding Israel and wanting to destroy her, that Damascus in Syria will become a ruinous heap overnight and no one will ever live there again. Now, this can either be due to some sort of a volcanic eruption in that area burying it, and this has happened, in Syria, in that area over the last, probably 2,000 or 3,000 years. And you can see the results of it with these burned heaps of failed volcanoes. Or it could be due to a nuclear strike by Israel against the Iranian deposits of their missiles there in Syria. We know that publicly that there are 10 different storage areas in and around Damascus where Iran has slipped in and put their weapons to be closer to the Golan Heights in northern Israel to launch things so close that Israel could not stop them. I mean, these are hypersonic type things, and if they're a nuclear missile on them, you'd have to destroy them before they even took off to even hope to avoid it. And, you know, the saber rattling going on by Iran, and they're using Syria and the Hamas and the Hezbollah as, you know, agents of their, in fact, even the Houthis in Yemen as agents of their attack on Israel, that Israel's choice is either to make an all-out nuclear war by hitting Iran, the major source of funding and weapons, or to hit their proxies, which they're doing. And Lebanon, you know, it's on the border of North Israel. I spent the night there on the border on the Israeli side years ago while they were fighting then and dying. They were killing Christians just over the ledge and down the hill from where I was sleeping that night. So this has been going on for a while, and I can understand the need to protect Israel's north and the Golan Heights into Syria. It's just tactically, it is necessary, and I'm afraid it's going to happen soon.
Well, that gives you, folks, that gives you the purpose, the reason and the purpose. Make sure you support Stan Dale. Go to standale.com, sign up for his Patreon meetings. Absolutely vital to your information, as well as just support him through donation, or make sure you get Dare to Prepare, Cosmic Conspiracy, all of the products at Stan and Holly Dale's site, standale.com, daretoprepare.com. Thank you, Stan. Appreciate it.